Howdy, hello, and welcome to Fat Love Talk episode 143. This is your host, Zachary, and I just watched back-to-back all four episodes of the HBO Quiet on Set, and I wanted to give kind of my take on this topic. I don't know how late to the game I am here talking about this. I don't know when exactly this released. I have seen some stuff online talking about it recently, and I didn't really know too much about it. So when I was off today looking at what to watch on TV, I thought about it, pulled it up on HBO, and four episodes was manageable, so I just binged the whole thing. And I don't exactly know where to start because it throws a lot at you. What I do know is I was around the same age as all of these kids in these shows back when they aired. So I followed Amanda Bynes and Josh Peck and Kenan and Kel's careers. And, you know, iCarly was one of my favorite shows next to Drake and Josh out of all of the shows he did. My sister was really big into Zoe 101, so I did watch quite a bit of that as well. But outside of that, I never watched Victorious or Sam and Cat, What I Like About You, any of those types of shows. I did watch the Amanda Show somewhat. I think I caught that more towards the tail end of that show's popularity. I'm not sure. But I did not realize what had been going on behind the scenes, because as a kid, you're watching TV to entertain yourself. You don't really so much think about that stuff until you're an adult. And now that everybody on those shows is in their 30s and 40s and they made this HBO show Quiet on Set, I'm starting to see that maybe it's for the best that I was born in Missouri and in the Midwest and didn't really get quote-unquote discovered or have the ready availability to just drive to California and audition for stuff, because as a kid I was very theatrical, I was very wild and excitable, and I would have loved to have at least tried to be on something like those shows. And to hear what was going on in the background, maybe God was watching out for me more than I thought. I have a complicated relationship with a lot of shows from back then, because if you've listened to my podcast at all, you know that I've talked about my childhood abuse, how I was verbally abused by my father, who was a Bible thumper and a truck driver, and the time he was home, we were all scared of him. My friends never wanted to come over, and because he was around, it was a whole thing, and it was very well known, and I think my dad prided himself on the fact that he was so, I guess, authoritative in his mind, but scary and terrifying in mine, in my friends and everything. So I didn't really apply myself because I didn't have a lot of reasons to. That verbal abuse really hit me really hard, and I didn't do much. So now I look back at that trauma and I realize it's heavily shaped my path. Unfortunately, not for the best. Lucky for me, I never fell into drugs or alcoholism or any of those temptations, but it doesn't change the fact that it happened. It doesn't change the fact that I have that trauma, that I have that to live with, and it's definitely stifled my creativity and stifled my growth. And I'm 30 years old, and I stopped writing. I stopped writing stories. I stopped writing songs. I got burned by a couple of churches because of the people being pushy. Maybe that was because of my trauma, and I just overreacted, but I stopped going to church. And I went to a place where I just wasn't happy. I literally told myself, if I eat too much, I've always been the fat, funny friend. If I just keep eating too much, one day my body will give out and I will die. And that will be the end of my story, because it's not worth telling anyway. Because I didn't like where I was. I didn't like what I was feeling on a daily basis. I didn't like the voices in my head screaming at me consistently. And so I always had an overwhelming sense of dread and anxiety. And I was always nice, kind. I still try to be nice and kind and good-hearted. And I just feel like that's always, my whole life, that's always been a bad thing. And I don't understand how kindness is bad. But I had one really, really good therapist in my mid-20s. One very, very good therapist. And when my insurance changed because I lost my job, I could never find a therapist that fit. To this day, I've struggled with finding a therapist that fits. And I feel like I've stifled again in my growth because that one therapist was so good and connected with me so well that I just feel lost now. A lot of the time, when it comes to growth, like, I guess I'm just half broken and half fixed, but it's okay because I've somehow managed to create a life that's just beautiful, and I want to hold on to that with just an iron fist. I don't ever want to lose that. And I'm sure that a lot of those child actresses on that show kind of felt very similar. I know that Josh Peck spoke publicly about his experiences after and his life, how it changed, and how he had to find and intentionally get help. And I know Jennette McCurdy wrote her autobiography and has her podcast, Hard Truth. And I'm really proud of her for stepping away, and I'm really proud of her for doing what's best for her, right? And I'm really happy that the remaining cast of iCarly, you know, they made that revival on, what was it, Paramount Plus. And I wasn't a huge fan of iCarly so many years later. The plot didn't really stick with me, but I applaud the main trio there on the cast. I applaud them for at least trying again to do something. And the show itself was, in my opinion, a really good show, so I figured iCarly coming back would be a good thing, and it's not a bad thing that it fell flat. It's not. It's just a testament that times are different, and I'm a 30-year-old person now trying to watch a show that is trying to be relatable. It's kind of like How I Met Your Mother when they made that How I Met Your Father revival with... Sorry about that. I got cut off. I was basically just saying how there are a lot of shows that have tried to bring back the past and revive themselves. And I feel like Hollywood tries to reinvent the wheel with the wheel they already had. Like, you know, they made Kenan and Kel, and then they made Good Burger, and then they made Good Burger 2 recently, which both original actors returned for. That's the kind of thing I'm all for. And like when they did iCarly and they brought back the iCarly revival, you know, that's okay as well if it's a healthy sort of environment or the reasoning behind that is justified. I'll never know the behind the scenes for all of this stuff. But documentaries like Quiet on Set really get me to thinking about kind of the abuse and trauma that a lot of child actors had to endure and deal with. And you know, with how big Ariana Grande is now, man, she was mistreated, it feels like, by a long shot on a lot of those shows when they showed examples of her on set, like squeezing a potato or sucking on her toes. It's just weird. It's weird. Who is that for? Because it's definitely not for kids, you know, because they even brought that up. Why do sexual innuendos exist on a kids show? Because the show's targeted at children. So is it targeted at the parents of the children who have to watch it with them? Because that's not necessarily the most appropriate thing that you would want your kids to be watching anyway. And so it's kind of a murky gray area. And so I kind of wouldn't feel comfortable if my kid were watching something that overtly sexual, you know, even if it's through an innuendo of some kind, right? So I don't know. I'm not really at this age watching shows that are directed for children, but I do know a lot of the popular ones, Peppa Pig, Bluey, etc. I have nephews who are 5, and I know what they enjoy watching for the most part. And a lot of TV has gone animated, which I think is sometimes for the best because it gives child actors a chance to voice act, and that's if child actors are voice acting. I know a lot of the time adult actors portray the children voices on shows or animated movies, etc. But it doesn't, I don't know. It's just the documentary made me think a lot. In specifically towards the second half of the documentary, it made me think a lot about Drake Bell. And let me sort of explain that. So, if you watched Quiet on the Set, you probably know exactly where I'm transitioning to. When Drake Bell explained his experiences and what had happened to him with the child predator that was on those sets and had a lot of influence, it did get me a little emotional, I'm going to be honest. And again, like I've said previously, if you're somebody that follows my podcast, I did an episode that was more popular that talked about the lead singer of Headley and the charges that were brought up against him for sexually abusing a woman and kind of the downfall. Headley was one of my favorite groups for the longest time. I was always in their top percent fan on my Spotify Wrapped. I listened to the music every single day. It was on every single playlist that I listened to outside of my Christian music. Any secular playlist I made had Headley in it, essentially, for the most part. And they were a daily listen, and I knew most of their lyrics, and I was singing along. I probably still could today, but, you know, I explained that after those charges were brought up against, what was it, Jacob Hogard, the lead singer of Headley, my whole world just kind of spun and I had to wrap my head around the fact that this person I listened to on the internet, on the radio, on my Spotify, through my speakers, has done horrible things to another person, whether that be male or female. It's the fact that he was on trial and was basically, yeah, a horrible person outside of his music. And if we're allowed to make exceptions for others, we're just going to keep making exceptions. So I straight up deleted all of their music from all of my playlists. I deleted all of their songs from any playlist I had. I had a dedicated playlist for every single album they ever created called Ultimate Headley, and I had it on my public profile, and I'm pretty sure I just deleted that profile in and of itself. And you know, it's sad because I loved their music, but I absolutely refuse to support somebody that does horrible things. Like, I'm just not gonna support it. I don't really have anything to add to that other than I don't support Headley anymore. I never probably ever will support Headley anymore. So that being said, when I had heard that charges were brought up in regards to Drake Bell talking to an underage individual, I was like, okay, delete all of his music off of my playlist. Don't support Drake Bell anymore. He's a horrible person. And that was the end of it. And then that's the last thought I had about that actor. You know, I knew that Josh Peck and Drake Bell weren't friends in real life. That kind of sucked the first time I found that out, because I was like, oh, they're stepbrothers, they're best friends on the show, outside of the show, they hang out, they're great. They're actors, they get paid to act that way together. And Drake Bell and Josh Peck are both able to do whatever they want independently outside of that or after that, right? So, you know, I do follow Josh Peck's podcast, I do follow Josh Peck's career. I mean, you know, it's cool that he's friends with, you know, John Stamos, and it's cool that he lost a bunch of weight and that he told his story. And I believe he wrote a book that even goes more in depth on that. And I never got a chance to read that book. I plan to at some point, but they weren't friends in real life. And so I kind of was like, okay, I came to terms with that. And then I heard Drake Bell was awful, and I was like, okay, then that's fine. He's allowed to separate himself, and he's allowed to do whatever he wants, I guess, but I won't condone it, nor will I support it. So I just got rid of his music. And that was the end of it until this, until this four-part documentary came out, and he had stated that he had been sexually assaulted, essentially, in multiple ways, multiple times. And I can only imagine how much that really messes up your head. And they even briefly mentioned that he had pled guilty to the talking to the underage woman. But, you know, to my understanding, he didn't know, and he cut it off as soon as he found out. And he owned it when he pled guilty. So, I believe, being a religious person, that people can change. That people can be horrible people for a season when they're hurting, when they're having trouble grieving, when they're having trouble understanding reality and really struggling with being the best versions of themselves. And I feel like if, and I'm going to look into this more because I'm doing this podcast right after I watched it. So if I look into it and Drake Bell really did, you know, get help. He really did admit himself to a mental health facility and get therapy and work through his trauma. If he really did these things and he truly wants to change, that's the, like, best possible outcome, right? That's God showing his love and grace and forgiveness tenfold, right? Or sevenfold, I guess, technically. But I'm not going to, I don't want to be labeled for the rest of my life because something I did when I was younger. You know, I was a kid. I tried to get popular on YouTube. I tried to make edgy, fun videos. And they were funny for a season. I was popular for a season, but then it fell flat. And I was alone. And I still had my abusive father in my life. And I still had trauma. And I still didn't know how to process that trauma. So, you know, there were times when I got my license, I would drive to the park and I would lay on the hood of my car and just cry and cry and cry. And one time I had an ambulance show up and say, hey, we got a call, couple of calls that, you know, you were here. Are you okay? Do you need assistance? And I had to, like, quickly compose myself and say, no, I'm fine. Go away. Leave me alone. I don't want to. I'm fine. And I had to, like, get in my car and drive away and, like, get away from that situation because I couldn't talk to anybody. I didn't have anybody. I was born in July, and I don't necessarily believe in astrology, but, you know, I'm a Cancer, astrological sign-wise, and I felt like I was a Cancer in a lot of other areas, but I digress. My astrological sign is Cancer, and Cancers are very emotional people. They wear their emotions on their sleeve. They're people pleasers. They really go out of the way for others. They have kind, warm hearts for the most part. I fit a lot of that. And I always adapted to the role of fat, funny friend. I always adapted to the role of I can't be myself because nobody wants that person around. And I didn't want that person around because when I was alone, I was quite literally alone. And it was depressing. And I got more suicidal when I was alone when I was younger. And thank God I'm away from that space. And thank God I've evolved and seen a therapist and, you know, somewhat started the healing process. And I'm engaged in 2024. I'm going to marry somebody in 2024. And I couldn't be happier about the way my life turned itself around, and I give God all the credit there. I truly do. I feel like without God being a part of my life, kind of moving his hands and setting things up the way that they went, I could be in a completely different place. I could be in a different space. I may not even be here. Who knows? I'm just thankful that I'm alive more than anything, because life is precious and beautiful and wonderful, and I have moments where I get sad or depressed or get in my head a little bit, or my anxiety gets a little too loud. But I've got ways to cope with that now that I didn't have before, and it goes a long way. I know that this podcast has gone way longer than I wanted it to go because it's me rambling, but I just wanted to say that documentaries like this are very important. They're very important because we have to hold others accountable. They brought up the Weinstein, the Me Too movement, the other abusers in the industry, and I think that when I see young actors or artists on the scene, I want them to have a positive experience, so I do my best to support them. My absolute favorite artist is probably, or okay, maybe not my absolute favorite artist, but one of my like top three favorite artists is Grayson Chance. You know, born and raised in Oklahoma, discovered by Ellen DeGeneres. He was super young when he was discovered. I was younger when I was disco when he was discovered, and I followed his music career. And then his last album, dear God, was phenomenal. He's gifted. He has skills. And who he is as a person in his personal life, who he is on his own time, he shares openly a lot of his beliefs on Instagram, and I mean, I don't follow anybody on Twitter or X or whatever, but I follow people on Instagram, and I fully support his journey. I want him to have the best life. I want him to have the best career. And I've always supported him. And when he came to Kansas City to go to the Truman, I gutted my. I was so upset that I didn't get a chance to see him live. I really wanted to. And the next time he comes to Kansas City, I will bend backwards to buy tickets. I will not let that opportunity happen twice. You know, I was trying to save money, I was trying to be smart. No. One of your top three favorite artists of all time came to Kansas City and you said, "Nah, I'm good." Mistake number one. So I'm definitely going to see him the next time he comes to Kansas City. That's going to be fantastic. And it'll be just a moment I'll cherish. You know, but I digress. I think that when I see younger artists, is the point I'm making. I want to support those who are really talented. When I see an actor in a show or a musician that's coming up, you know, I'm like, that person's going to go far in their career, and I can't wait to see what they do. The actor who plays Percy Jackson, I said this in the episode talking about that show. I'm excited to see his career grow. I'm excited to see him go places in his career because he's very gifted. And I want him, especially Disney, they have high standards, I feel like, for, you know, child safety and labor laws and all that stuff. So it's good because I want him to have just an incredible career. And I mean, he got to work with some really cool actors in his time already, and that's only going to get better as he gets older. So I don't know. I want to end the podcast by saying that the show was very good. The documentary, Quiet on the Set, I saw on HBO. It was really good. Four episodes, like 45 minutes each. It's about 3.5 hours. It's worth watching. It's like a longer movie, but it's worth watching. And I definitely am glad I did. I got more podcasts coming on the show. Just stay tuned. I appreciate you guys supporting the podcast. Follow me on Snapchat. I'm not posting every day or often, but I do get on there again. I had to break my addiction to that. And then now I have a healthy relationship again with Snapchat. So add me on Snapchat, all lowercase, all one word, fat love. Fatlove145 on Instagram, my YouTube channel. I post YouTube videos. Haven't for a while. I'm working on my next playthrough. The editing process has taken longer than I expected. So check that out, Alpha Phenomenon Gaming. And then, yeah, if you want to support the podcast, you can always donate to support if you want, or you can just be a fellow fan and listen. Either way, I love you guys. I appreciate you supporting the podcast. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you on the next episode of Fat Love Talk.